my God, why hast thou abandoned me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. These words of the dying Savior, his psalm, his plea from the depths of his own anguish, could well have been on the lips of one people and of one nation in particular. For if it is true that nations faithful to Christ and to his church have always had to suffer, as have individuals, which is their glory and their salvation, to suffer for the holy, unchanged Catholic faith. Nevertheless, I think it may be said that one nation alone has suffered for so many centuries, decade after decade and year after year, and suffered for the Mass. Other nations suffered for the faith. The Mass is its crown. The Mass is its food. But the Irish suffered for the Mass because the English Protestants hated the Mass more than they even hated and despised the poor Irish. In all of those centuries of persecution, they never had the idea to wipe them out if they didn't become Protestant. Each time a persecution flared up, some bloody murder of poor peasants hearing Holy Mass in some hidden away hovel, they did it as an exercise of authority to show them who was boss, or a demonstration of their hatred against what Cromwell, the Lord Protector, surely a devil on earth if ever there were one, dismissed as the exercise of the Mass, swearing that as long as the Lord gave him strength, he would use that strength to destroy it. No, the English wanted of the Irish what the Nazis wanted of the Slavic peoples, that they should be tamed, enslaved, reduced to servitude, and stay there. And so from time to time they knew that they would have to, after all, tolerate things. And generally speaking, they did. Between bouts of terrible persecution, the Mass crept back again, the poor priest, the Father Sullivan, saying Mass in his ditch someplace in the 17th century. The people assisting at Mass at a rock, Mass offered in the confines of a sentry box so that the priest would be protected and the people would not see the priest's face, so they could honestly say if they were interrogated by the British, I don't know the priest, I did not see him. But as a rule, they were allowed to go on. They never tried entirely to stop it, nor could they for long. The sacrifice of the Mass made this people great. The sacrifice of the Mass was lived even unto dying by them. St. John Chrysostom says that being but the application and the repetition of the sacrifice of the cross, the Mass is as efficacious as the sacrifice of Calvary for the good and for the salvation of men. A Mass is equivalent to the sacrifice of the cross, since we behold him who was nailed to the cross, him who as lamb was slain and sacrificed. Let us approach with trembling, with much reverence and piety. Know you not how angels stood by the sepulchre, which held not his body, but only an empty tomb? Now we are going to stand not at an empty tomb but at the very altar, which holds the lamb, and shall we not approach with all reverence? The priest stands before the altar, with his hands stretched out towards heaven, invoking that Holy Spirit to come and touch the things that lie open to view. Thou beholdest the Lamb as though slain. Forever, if thou wert to gaze upon that sacrifice during the whole night, it is a thing. Could it ever make you weary? Reflect what it is that lies before thee, and for what purpose it is lying there. These words of the Lamb and beholding the Lamb from this Greek doctor of the church during the Arian crisis put me in mind of that beautiful, little known, and entirely silent apparition of the Mother of God in the late 19th century in Ireland, after the persecutions were over, to place, as it were, the stamp of approval of the Lamb and Our Lady, the Mother of the Good Shepherd, at Knock, in some very humble and very poor village. The children, little boy climbing up on a wall, saw through the soft Irish rain an altar, a plain altar, and upon the altar the Lamb of God, and standing next in silence the Blessed Mother and Saint John, and that was all. And as long as the vision lasted, no one said a word. The Irish never lost their faith all of those centuries of persecution. And yet, when they took the Mass away, not just from the Irish, but from the whole world, when they took the Mass away and they got a little bit of prosperity and some money in their pocket, they lost everything. And now there is no more Ireland. And one would almost have to wish for the terrible, bitter days of persecution, those long centuries. The Irish never said then, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But if there are any Catholics left in Ireland, and I know there are a handful at least, well might they make that prayer as they wait for a priest to come again in some rented room or private home to offer the sacrifice, so that the people on their knees might behold the Lamb of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.